We're going to talk about creation evolution tonight. Before we go on, I have to show you another one of my favorite animals. Guess which country it comes from? That's right. This is my second favorite animal. It comes from Australia. It's called a wombat. It's the one on the right here. When you're speaking to American audiences, you really have to define things. I've learned that, but the wombat's an interesting animal. It's a marsupial. You know what a marsupial is? It has a pouch like a kangaroo. You ever seen pictures of a kangaroo with a pouch and the joey hopping out the front and so on? Well, the wombat is a marsupial. It has a pouch, but a little different. The pouch is turned backwards, and so the young have to jump in at the rear end. Now, you say, why on earth would an animal have a pouch turned backwards like that? Well, it's very simple. The wombat tunnels under the ground. Can you imagine what would happen if the pouch was turned forwards? It'd fill up with dirt and you'd get fossilized wombats real quickly, wouldn't you? Guess what I say to my children? Looks like it's designed to do what it does do, and what it does do very well, doesn't it? Don't you think? They think it does. I do too. So I hope you have a great time as you talk about animals like the wombat. Fascinating creature. Of course, I believe the wombat was created. I don't believe it evolved. In fact, I'll never forget taking a group of American tourists to one of the parks in Australia where they saw the wombat, and the guide said, isn't evolution wonderful? Over millions of years, it slowly turned that pouch around. One of the astute Americans put his hand up and says, excuse me, sir, what happened in the millions of years while it was still turning around? He didn't get an answer, but anyway, that's just the way it goes, I guess. Well, the first part I want to do tonight might be a little over the heads of some of the children, and then I want to get on to talking about dinosaurs, as I promised you. But before we do that, I need to cover some other things. But I have two verses of Scripture I want you to think about tonight. And I want mums and dads to think about these two verses of Scripture. Because, you know, the Bible teaches that, by the way, who is to be the spiritual head of the house according to the Bible? Fathers. By the way, in the majority of Christian homes, who really has the prayer times with the children and teaches the children spiritually? In the majority of homes, it's who? Mothers. You just told me an interesting problem that exists in most American homes, by the way. It's that fathers don't take on their God-given responsibility to train their children. 2 Timothy 3:15. I really like Timothy, a young man committed to the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, Paul was saying, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Timothy knew the Scriptures. He was taught them, of course, by his mother, and his grandmother knew the Scriptures, as the Scripture tells us. But then look at 1 Timothy 6:20. And this is my verse for tonight. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, remember that faith that Timothy had, the faith in the Scriptures. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Avoid the babblings of science falsely so called. And I believe it's the babblings of science falsely so called that have caused a lot of young people who might have been Timothy's to stray from the faith. And I believe the responsibility in many instances lies squarely with mums and dads who have not trained them from the Scriptures and given them answers to these things. But let's consider this science falsely so called. Because you see, evolutionists claim that what they're on about is science. What are they saying? Millions of years ago, chemicals in some primeval soup came together and by chance random processes formed some information system against everything we observe, which I talked about this morning. Eventually you get fish and then amphibians, and they changed into reptiles. Some of them became birds. In fact, for those of you that did see Jurassic Park, do you remember at the end of the movie, do you remember that, where the scientist was in the helicopter? And he was in the helicopter, and he was looking at the birds, and he was smiling. Can anyone tell me why he was looking at the birds and smiling? I'll tell you why. Because, as Time magazine put it recently, dinosaurs aren't extinct. They're in the trees chirping at you. That's right, because what did dinosaurs become, according to the evolutionists? They became birds, right? That's right. So they're up there flying around. They became birds. And, of course, some reptiles became mammals. You get ape-like creatures, and here you have people. You know, in public education system, by and large, and I know I taught in the public schools for many years in Australia, and I was teaching in one classroom, what I call science, and the other classroom, another teacher was teaching what they call science, but what they call science was different to what I call science. Because they talked about evolution. This is science. This is fact. And I was talking about, hey, wait a minute. Science involves using your five senses in the present to investigate the world and to repeat your observations. That's what I was taught at school. Weren't you taught that? Science involved using your five senses? By the way, let me ask you a question. How many of you exist in the present? Put your hands up if you exist in the present. That's pretty good for Colorado. That's not bad at all. That's 80%. I've been to some places where it's only 40%, even 20% in some states, but I won't tell you which ones. But you all exist in the present, don't you? If you didn't, you wouldn't be here, right? Let me ask you another question. When do fossils exist, though, present or past? Dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Let's try this again. Here is a fossil. When does it exist? Ah, good. So when do fossils exist, present or past? Present. Good. So when you're digging up dinosaur bones now, are you digging up the past or digging up the present? Let's try this again. All right? Here is a fossil. When does it exist? Now, in the present, right? Good. Now you go out and you dig up some dinosaur bones. Are you digging up the past or digging up the present? You're digging up the present. You can't dig up the past. You don't have it. Think about that for a moment. And when you dig these bones up, do they have little labels on saying, hi, I'm 70 million years old? Not at all. See, here's the thing that I think one of the problems that I found as a teacher was that students were taught what to think and not how to think. And if we taught students how to think, they would quickly understand evolution's not science. Because you see, when a scientist steps out of the present to go to the past, you've got a problem. You don't have the past. And so you've just stepped outside of science. Millions of years ago, dinosaurs roamed around. How do you know? Well, look, we dig up a dinosaur age. You don't dig up a dinosaur age. You dig up dead dinosaurs. Isn't that right? You don't dig up a dinosaur age. You dig up dead dinosaurs. You don't dig up hairy apes with clubs chasing each other. Right? You dig up bones and you make a story about those bones. And in fact, when you dig up dinosaur bones, you have to make up a lot of stories because we don't watch them roaming around. We don't know exactly what they look like. We don't know their colours or anything like that. I believe they were purple. And you can't prove I'm wrong. We haven't seen one yet, right? Besides which, Barney proves I am right. But what I want to do is this. I want to say, as a scientist, in the present, when we're talking about the past, here's the problem. Look at the world. What exists in the present? People. Most people. Animals, plants, the Grand Canyon, the Earth, the stars, the universe exists in the present, right? What we're trying to do is this. What happened in the past to bring the universe into being? What happened in the past to cause these billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the Earth here? What happened in the past to form the Grand Canyon? What happened in the past to result in us sitting here in Denver right now tonight? What happened in the past? Here's the problem. We don't have the past. We only have the present. And so the evolutionist has certain stories about the past. I have a totally different story about the past. But I want to first of all run quickly through and teach you a little bit about the philosophy of science. Remember that verse this morning? By the way, for the children that were there, what did I say this morning? The next time somebody says millions of years ago, what do you ask them? Were you there? See, they listen. Were you there? That's right. You know what God was teaching Job? What science is and what science isn't. You know the other thing God taught Job? These are the two most important things you could ever teach children, I believe, in relation to this issue, to help lead them to an understanding, other than teaching the scriptures. But when I was teaching in a public school, two most important things I taught them. You weren't there. And what's the next thing God said to Job? Can you do this? Can you do that? Do you know this? Do you know that? Do you know this? Do you know that? What about this, Job? What about that? Do you know this? Do you know that? Can you do this, Job? What about this? What did Job say? Lord, I give up. I don't know anything. You know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8? Any man that thinks he knoweth anything knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. You know what God was saying to Job? Job, I'm the only one who's always been there. And Job, I'm the only one who knows everything. You know the book of Job, a lot of people think it's about suffering. You know it's not. You know it's about the sovereignty of God. That God knows everything. And in the end, Job just fell down and said, Lord, I repent in dust and ashes. You're the God who knows everything. I know nothing. People, we need to be brought to that place today because too many of us have a trust in our education, a trust in our academia. And I'm not saying education's bad or anything like that. I want my children, my son's going to go to college this year to do a computer science degree. But you know what? We need to make sure that we have a trust in God. And we don't trust man the way the scriptures teach us. But let's just run through the limitations of science. You imagine if something happened once. A little green man in a spacecraft sort of zoomed in here, jumped out, said, hi, people, jump back in, and zoomed out the door. He raced down the local paper. Guess what happened? What? at church, a little green man jumped out of a spacecraft. Prove it to me. It only happened once. Ah, who was speaking? An Australian. Uh-huh. Where was it? Ah, that Riverside Baptist Church. Oh, yeah, that type, yeah. I mean, how would you prove it if it happened once? You can't. If something only happens once, you can't prove it. If you can't apply a measure to something, when you go to the Grand Canyon, can you sit there and measure how long it takes for those layers to form? Why not? They're already formed, right? So can you scientifically prove how long it took to form the layers? Absolutely not. You weren't there. You can't get up and say, these took so many million years. You can't say that at all. You didn't see it happen. It might have happened quickly, like we talked about this morning. When it comes to the past, you don't have the past. That's why lawyers can make a lot of money. Sometimes. You imagine, I like to give the example in school, you're riding home on your bicycle and you run over a little old lady. So you get taken to court before the judge. What happened? Someone hopped up and said, I saw it. He aimed his bicycle for the little old lady. Somebody else said, no, I saw it. It was the bicycle's fault. Somebody else said, no, I saw it. The little old lady raced out to steal his bicycle. You know something the judge can't do, but he'd like to be able to do? All right, let's go out and run her down again so I can see what really happened. Now, he can't do that because, you see, whatever happened, happened in the past. Isn't it true that you can... You ever seen those murder mysteries on television? Well, you think you know who did it, and then they give you some evidence you didn't know, and it totally changes your conclusions. Haven't people been convicted on circumstantial evidence only to find out later they were innocent? Doesn't it happen all the time? Well, people apply that to this whole issue of origins. It's the same thing. If there's some evidence that we don't know, and we don't even know what evidence we don't know, so how do we know what we don't know? Or what we do know? See the problem? Or am I the problem here? When it comes to absolute negatives, what's an absolute negative? You will find, I have never found an evolutionist book yet that doesn't make this statement in an absolute sense. Dinosaurs are extinct. You will not find them living today. By the way, how would you prove dinosaurs were extinct? How would you prove it? You'd have to have one person on every point of the Earth's surface looking in every direction all at the one time, being a 100% excellent observer, saying, there ain't no dinosaur here, mate. Otherwise, it might have run behind a tree or something like that, which is not as silly as what it sounds, as you'll find out later on. You see, when you say something isn't, you can't scientifically prove that. That's not a scientific statement. You know what blows my mind? In public school classes today, they say, oh, we don't have religion in our classes. No, we only teach science. Dinosaurs are extinct. That is not a scientific statement. That is a statement of belief. And there are scientists today that don't believe that. There are even some secular scientists that believe there could be a live dinosaur in the Congo, which is interesting, isn't it? By the way, remember when the Russian cosmonauts got up around the Earth? What'd they say? Aha, there's no God. Same sort of statement, right? How did they know? What were they looking for? Were they looking in the right direction? Somebody once said, if only they'd have jumped out of their spacecraft, they would have found him. And that would have been real quick. Now, see, here's the point. When it comes to the origin of life, I haven't read evolutionist books that have said life evolved more than once, millions of years ago. How do you prove it? Do you have a movie rerun? Not at all. Do we have a time machine to go back and have a look? No. Have we ever seen it happen today? No. So how do you know it happened? You don't know it happened. That is not a scientific statement. That is pure blind faith belief. That's what it is. And if you believe that, it is just blind faith belief. You know why? As I said this morning, what we observe in science, it takes information to get information. Never anywhere in the world do you see information systems coming from disorder by chance. Never. So if you believe millions of years ago, when you weren't there to see it happen, and you can't see it happen today, and it goes flies in the face of what we observe in science, if you believe chemicals turn into a cell, I think you've got a problem. How many times did God take dust and make Adam? Once. Can you scientifically prove it? No, it happened in the past. But let me ask you this question. Is that statement of the Bible consistent with the evidence? When we die, what do we return to? Dust. Is it consistent? It is, isn't it? You see, when it comes to creation, I can't scientifically prove to you creation. I've had people come down to me, if you can prove creation to me, I'll listen. What does the scripture say? Without faith, it's impossible. To prove creation, you'd have to know everything. You would have to have always been there. There's only one who's always been there who knows everything. Who's that? God, which is why the Bible says without faith, it is impossible. There's always going to be a faith element. But the point is, it's not blind faith like the evolutionists.